The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy holidays, everybody. Today, we are doing something a little bit different. I guess a lot of bit different than the normal show. This is our holiday special, and it's about to start in just a minute. I'll get you into the actual show in just a minute. I hope you stick around and listen. But before I get into the details about that, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you being here, whether you are a brand new listener or you're somebody who's been with this show for a while. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support, for your kind words, or even for just listening regularly. I really do appreciate it. I couldn't do this without you guys. And it's the spirit of the holidays, and I'm thankful for a lot of things. And so that's part of why we're doing a holiday special this year. We got together a bunch of our hosts across the different shows on the Robots Radio Network to talk about the things that we loved the most from 2022 and the things that we are the most excited about for 2023. So I hope you enjoy this very special episode. It's a fun way to bring everybody together across the network and end the year on a positive note. So if you're excited about something coming up in 2023, or you're excited about something that happened in 2022, then let us know. This is all about community and bringing people together about all the things that we love. So with that said, have a wonderful holiday. The regular episodes will be starting back up next week with some patron episodes and all of that. But I hope you enjoy this in the meantime. And here's to 2023. Welcome to the Robots Radio Podcast Network's holiday special for 2022, featuring
Ben of Temeria from Holocron Histories and the Wizardry World Lorecast,
Jaxus from Content Creators Guide and the Fallout Roundtable,
Genesis, the Two Girls, One Ship, and the Cyberpunk Lorecast.
And I'm N7 Legend from the Mass Effect Lorecast.
This is Preston from True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama, and Bioshock, the Midnight series.
I'm Shelby Orr, She-Cup from the Dragon Age Lorecast, the Assassin's Creed Lorecast, and the Inheritance Cycle Page by Page.
And I'm Toasty, host of the Witcher Lorecast and the Cyberpunk Lorecast.
And this is Tom, or Robots. I run the whole entire network. I'm also the host of the Fallout Lorecast, the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Mass Effect Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. So I'm here with some of my co-hosts too. And welcome to this very special episode. We decided this year to get a bunch of the hosts together in order to celebrate a year of awesome content. This has been an amazing year for the Robots Radio Podcast Network. And if you don't know who some of these people are, they're doing some awesome shows. You absolutely need to go check them out. But we're getting together today to talk about some of our favorite things that happened in 2022 and some of the things that we're looking forward to in 2023. And before we kick this off, I just wanted to share some numbers. And guys, feel free. This is going to be kind of an open discussion. So feel free to just chime in whenever you want, if you've got any thoughts or whatever on any of this stuff. I did the numbers. I took a look at our hosting platforms for all of our shows across the network that I can see the numbers for. And this doesn't include some of the other shows on the network, which are some pretty big successful shows, which host themselves other places. But across the shows that we are currently hosting, which is most of our shows, we this year have eclipsed 3.5 million downloads, which is phenomenal. That is a huge number. So thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you for being here, for enjoying our shows, for contributing, for sharing, and all the things that you do. You guys are amazing. So just wanted to start off with some positivity around that, because we couldn't do that. We couldn't do this without all of you guys being there to listen and enjoy the shows and be part of our community as well. So thank you so very much. So for this episode, we are sharing some of our favorite things that happened this year. And some of those things might have something to do with the kind of shows that we do, and some of them might be other things as well. So let's get into it. Would somebody, we didn't decide who was going to start here. Who wants to start us off? Who has something really cool that they think happened in 2022 that they were just super, super psyched about? Anybody want to chime in or jump in here to start us off?
We had the Fallout event and the Good Springs this year, and I thought that was an incredibly cool event.
So Jaxus, this is Jaxus, Jaxus from the Content Creators Guide.
Yeah,
he's an avid Fallout 76 player, and you got a chance to go to the Good Springs event. Explain to our audience, if they're not familiar with this, what was this event?
So it's a kind of a, think of cosplay, if you think of like the Renaissance Fair and things like that, that same kind of feel and environment based on the Fallout universe. So all of the different elements of what you would see from the game's Fallout, more specifically, New Vegas was kind of where it was centered. And everybody around there was dressed up as, like, you know, Brotherhood of Steel people or as raiders from, you know, the game itself. And they go there to kind of commune with one another and, you know, share their fandom with each other. And they had moments where they kind of role played a little bit. They had, you know, little raiders against, you know, the good guys kind of thing going on, and they had live music. There was great food, many different forms of entertainment, and it's only going to grow. This was the first time it was done. It was only expected to have maybe, you know, 50 to 100 people show up. An incredible, you know, 500 to 1,000 people showed up.
Wow. So, and this was from, and yeah, this was in Good Springs in Nevada, correct?
That is correct.
So yes, this isn't like New York City or LA. This isn't like some much more populated area. Mm-hmm. This is people who went out to the desert in order to celebrate a video game and dress up and meet each other and chat. And you got to hang out with a bunch of them, right?
That is correct. And we spent time at the Pioneer Saloon, who was owned by Steven Statt, who was a very gracious host. He was, you know, doors were wide open to us. There was no, you know, everything was available there, plenty of water. They kept it, you know, comfortable seating, things like that. It was a great time. Everybody had a good time. There was no issues of any kind. Perfect moment. It was just great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I guess this is similar to if anybody who's listening has gone to, like you mentioned, like a cosplay event or a big convention somewhere or a Renaissance festival, but for your favorite video game, which I'm pretty sure Fallout's your favorite video game, right?
Am I
correct in that? Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds like a blast. I remember when you went and did that and got a chance to interview some of the people there and stuff. So Jaxus, while we're on you, now that you've talked about Fallout, what are you looking forward to in 2023? Is there something specific coming up?
Again, with the same event is coming back. It'll be back November the 11th and 12th at the Good Springs area. So that is coming back around. So mark your calendars, folks. It's worth going to check out.
So you're planning to go do that again?
Oh, most definitely.
That's awesome. Let's open this up to everybody else. So you guys have you done any, first of all, any of you who are Fallout fans, have you been to this before or been to one of these events before? I don't think anybody. I don't
friends, think, but that's as close as I've gotten, and I've been very close to Good Springs many times because I've been to Vegas quite a few times. But I forget. I guess you just get caught up in all the glitz and glamour of Vegas. You forget about Prim and all the great Fallout locations. But I promise myself next time I'm definitely going to go.
Right. This is Preston from the True Vault Escapades, which is a Fallout podcast. It's a story, right?
In New Vegas, of all places, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally applicable. Jaxus, were you going to chime in with something?
No, I was good. I was letting him go ahead and talk. I just pushed the mic away so I didn't like breathe in the mic.
I thought I heard you say something. Okay, cool. Cool. Well, I mean, this is a great start going to big events and things. And now that the pandemic isn't as big of an issue as it was the last few years, being able to get back out there and actually be face to face with other human beings, enjoying the things that we love. That's huge. I hope I get to travel some this year coming up. Speaking of that. So let's see, who has something they'd like to piggyback on the back of this? I know Genesis, you kind of unmuted here. Did you want to chime in with something? No,
this is in seven legend.
Okay, hold on one second. What was that, Genesis? You did until
somebody started their Mustang outside my front door. So I'll just stay muted for right now.
Okay. Let's move to N7 legend. N7, the legend from Mass Effect Lorecast. Hey, buddy.
So, hey, Tom, you know, it's been a big year for me personally, as well as for the show. I moved to a new city. I live in Seattle now. With that, I was able to go and while working, go to PAX West and get a media coverage pass. That was amazing. Loved every moment of it. I saw a disappointingly little amount from BioWare there, but I don't think that that's, you know, that precludes anything in the next year. However, big thing for our show, we got to interview Mark Muir, the voice of male Commander Shepard. That was amazing.
Right.
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. So for anybody who knows the Mass Effect games, you know how important the characters and the voice acting are in those games. And Mark Muir is the lead character. If you choose a male lead character, you can choose male or female. If you choose male, he is the voice that you hear in the game. He's the guy.
Yeah, and a little bit of, you know, inside baseball on that interview, not a lot of people got to hear this part because this happened just beforehand. Tom and I were waiting in the Zoom call for Mark to join. And I was waiting with the highest amount of anticipation that you could possibly imagine. This is a game that has meant the world to me since I was like 14 and I first picked it up and played it all night, you know. And so Commander Shepard, the character, being like a childhood hero to me. And I'm moments away from not just meeting the voice who gave life to that character, but interviewing him. And so we're waiting, and then Mark joins, and the second Mark joins, all of the fire alarms in my apartment complex go off.
Yeah, it almost totally ruined the whole entire show, and we only had
just like a little bit of smoke triggering one. It was like the skull rattling shrill of imminent danger.
Right.
that was like going off, and everyone was evacuating. So I was like, you've got to be joking.
Right. We only had him for an hour. Like, he squeezed out an hour of his very busy schedule in order to talk to us, which was which is a huge compliment. Right. Like, that is
on N7 Day.
On N7 Day. And N7 Day is November 7th, which, if anybody's played the Mass Effect games, there's a rank of N7. And so Commander Shepard is an N7. So N7 Day, it all matches up. They always talk about big deal announcements and things every year. And yeah, so all of this lined up perfectly, and then all of a sudden, you're like, well, guys, I need to evacuate the building. Hopefully I can come back in soon.
Yeah. The one thing that I really can't ignore, the fact that I could be up in flames in moments. So I went downstairs and I checked, and it turned out that someone just clipped the sprinkler in the garage, and I thought, I'm going back upstairs. I'm going to do this interview. So we did, and it was a wonderful interview. He was very gracious, and you can tell that he really is a fan of the series, not just a member of the cast. So that was a highlight, certainly for me, of this year.
Yeah, you know,
being able to cover PAX.
That makes me think about how nice it is to be able to do what we do with our podcasts, because in a way we're kind of the conduit between the communities that listen to our shows and the communities that we hang out with, we play games with, we chat with them on Discord, like the friends that we make out there. And then people like Mark Muir, you know, voice actors, people in the industry that we get to interview and those kinds of things. We get to be this conduit that kind of connects all this stuff together. And that really is, I don't know, it's one of the extra little perks of doing this job. And that truly is an amazing thing. Something to be thankful for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And you've, Tom, I think certainly had much more experience in being that liaison role when it comes to Bethesda games, because you've had quite the interaction with Bethesda's community managers too, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, and some of the people behind the scenes, some of the coders and people like that, voice actors, and getting to interview each of them, everybody, and see what they do individually and how they affect the things that we love. It's very cool. It's a very, very cool thing. So, Sam, is there something coming up this year that you're particularly looking forward to?
More Mass Effect news. It's probably going to be a drought for about the next year until we get to November 7th, 2023. But one can hope and one can pray that we might be able to get some kind of, you know, teaser trailer, another one between now and then. That is very optimistic of me to suggest that, but we also got surprised this past in 7 Day. You know, I said multiple times on our show that I don't think much of it is going to come of it. And we got a number of narrative hints about where the direction this series is headed. And they are hard at work on it. It is in pre-production development right now. And they've made some major hires. Their roster has been filling out. So I think we can expect full steam ahead with this production. And but beyond our own show, beyond Mass Effect, I'm psyched for Starfield. I can't temper my excitement about that one.
Yeah. So for anybody who just kind of filling in the details here, the next Mass Effect game is still a few years out, but they're working on it. And so hopefully we get more details. And I'm sure a lot of you other hosts here there's probably a game or 10 that you're just waiting for more information on when they're going to tell us this next thing. And so much has slowed down because of the pandemic in the last few years, and game development got pushed out for a lot of things. But Starfield is the next release from Bethesda, from the main studio, Bethesda Game Studio, who does all the Elder Scrolls games and Fallout and all of that. And hopefully we get an update on that pretty soon at the beginning of the year. Supposed to come out in the first half.
Up to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to come out in the first half of 2023. So I guess we're just going to have to see. That one is on my list as well for one of the things I'm really looking forward to, because I feel like if it does well, and I think it's going to do well, I feel like they make the kinds of games that are just things that I just eat up, that it'll be one of those things I spent a lot of time doing this year.
Well, the Todd father is in charge, so I think we can rest assured.
It just works.
Oh boy. All right. Good ones. These are some good picks, Sam. Anybody else have any thoughts on any of those? Or Starfield or Mass Effect?
I hope it lives up to what I've been hearing. I mean, it sounds like an incredible game. The visuals that we've seen, the little tidbits we've gotten, they look incredible too. I just hope the gameplay holds up.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's move on to our next host. Who wants to go next? Shelby, do you want to go?
Yeah, so I was going to say, speaking of BioWare, I'm the host of the Dragon Age Lorecast, one of the hosts. And so there are kind of two big things that happened this year in the world of Dragon Age that just like got us really pumped. The first one is that we learned that Dragon Age Dreadwolf, which is the next game, is in alpha stage, which means it's a playable game start to finish. There's obviously still a lot of bugs and all that they're working out, but it is a game. It's real. It's happening and it's coming. So that is super exciting. We've been waiting a long time. It's been 8 years since the last Dragon Age game came out.
That's amazing. So, that's amazing.
It's been a long time. So we're super pumped about that. But also, I couldn't narrow it down to one thing. I'm sorry. The other thing is we just got a Dragon Age TV show that released like last week, the week before, called Dragon Age Absolution. If you have even the slightest interest in Dragon Age, go watch that show. It's amazing. It's really good.
Netflix? It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay, cool. That's first I've heard of it, actually, is just now.
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes, so it's a pretty quick watch, but it's really good and a lot of interesting lore potential out there for it. So
cool. Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet either. In fact, I was reminded, I think, like the week before it came out, because, you know, it does the like coming soon section of Netflix. And I was like, oh, yeah, I need to make sure I watch that. And then it totally slipped my mind. So thank you for bringing that up. That's going to go on my list now of like things to check out. Yeah. And man, so long since the last Dragon Age game. BioWare does Mass Effect and Dragon Age. And hopefully we're getting this next series of games. They've had some hits and then they've had some kind of slip ups. And hopefully we're coming back to like real good stuff. They've taken some time to really figure out what really made their game so special and then, you know, do that again. So do you have anything specific coming up outside of that?
Well, you might be expecting me to say the next Dragon Age game, but actually I think the next Dragon Age game is coming out in 2024. So the thing I'm most excited about for 2023 is the next Assassin's Creed game, which is Assassin's Creed Mirage. It looks really good. It's going to be about Basim and following his story. So that's probably the game I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I noticed on Steam, if you're a PC gamer, that this weekend there was like Play Valhalla for free. That was the last one that came out. And it's on like huge sale. It's like big, big discount.
85%, I believe it was.
Yeah, it's like super cheap. So if you're into Assassin's Creed, I actually didn't pick that one up yet. So maybe I'll go pick it up. But yeah, Assassin's Creed, very cool. Anybody have any thoughts on Dragon Age or Assassin's Creed, that stuff?
I am so excited for Dad to get here. Bring on the Dreadwolf.
For Dad to get here?
Yeah, it's Dragon Age Dreadwolf, D-A-D. Dad.
Got it. Cool. Jen, do you want to go since you're chiming in? Now, I'm supposing that the cars have all settled down outside.
Yes, it is much quieter.
Unless
that
was a horse.
Now.
You said Mustang. I'm assuming it was a car with an engine.
No. No,
it's just a really loud
horses,
horse.
I would be okay with that because they don't make too much noise that I can hear three stories up. But no, gosh, gaming last year was really big and really amazing, and there was so much awesomeness. But the one thing that I found super interesting was this little indie game about kittens and robots that took the storm. I mean, they got nommed for like what, 7 different awards in the video gaming awards this year.
You're talking about Stray.
Yeah.
The game called Stray. Yes. Which you play a cat in a cyberpunk dystopian future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is such a, like, who came up with that concept? Like, first of all, not only who came up with it, but who pitched it successfully. They were like, I got an idea, guys, a game where you play as a cat. And everyone's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we haven't really done that before. Yeah, in a cyberpunk dystopia. And they're like, what? Wait, what? But it works, huh? And I haven't played it.
It works, and it's gorgeous, and it's thought-provoking, and it's emotional, and it's cute kitties.
And it's cute kitties.
And highly lauded. And I am all here for it. I am a full supporter of the underdog. I love it when the smaller production companies and game development studios and things like that can say like, hey, I can do it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, games are not just all about the big publishers, especially these days. And getting really, really creative and well-made, well-designed stuff from indie studios is always, always a pleasure. So, yeah. All right. And did anybody else play Stray? Anyone else give this a try? I'm getting a lot of no's. Nope. Yeah. Maybe it'll be one of those games that I try out when, you know, I feel like it's one of those games that should come out on Game Pass at some point.
Probably.
Feels kind of like that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what about this coming year?
Oh, okay. I am super, super excited for the Phantom Liberty expansion for Cyberpunk. I cannot wait to figure out the next step in the lore, the next step in V's story, what's happening with Johnny, and putting Idris Elba in the game. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So anybody who's not familiar with this stuff needs to be paying attention to Cyberpunk, because what capital C Cyberpunk, the actual game system that was kind of, it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, was a tabletop system turned into a very like very hyped AAA developed video game that launched 2 years ago, but was super buggy. And they've now fixed the vast majority of the bugs, and it's a much better experience than it was before. And now there's a DLC coming out for that this coming year. But this series now has also had an anime, Edgerunner, Cyberpunk Edgerunners on Netflix. So now you have what was kind of this little niche tabletop experience has now exploded into media.
Yeah. I think earlier this year, there were over 1 million people playing Cyberpunk for a week straight, according to Steam alone.
Yeah, 4 million. Ben, you feel free to chime in too, Ben. Are you saying four?
It was like 4 weeks straight.
Okay.
It was almost over a month straight where it was 1 million concurrent players just because of the show.
That's amazing. And on top of it, you mentioned Idris Elba is coming in the expansion. The main game featured Keanu Reeves as one of the main, not the character you play, but one of the main characters. And it's pushing these boundaries of like named actors, like A-list actors in our video games, not just doing voices, but playing characters that look like them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool stuff around Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves actually reacted to that on YouTube. About being in the game. He didn't know it until somebody told him about it. He was like, oh wow, that's interesting. He was very flattered.
But he knew he was in the game. Like, he did all the motion capture and everything. Right. It may have been something else he was reacting. You know what it was? It was the one where somebody was
elements.
They were talking about people modding in sex scenes with him. And that was the thing that he was surprised and flattered about. Yes. Yeah. I remember now. Yes. Yes.
I covered that discussion on my other show that I host, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, because that focuses all about the romance aspects. And I will also say, finding out that there are confirmed romance options in Starfield now has bumped that one up on the list of games that I plan on playing next year.
Yeah, more developed romance options than what they've previously done before, with at least a few characters. So, very, very cool stuff with that as well. Well, cool. Cool stuff. Do we want to jump to Toasty, your Cyberpunk co-host? Because I know Toasty's got kind of a time limit here. I want to make sure we get time for Toasty to chime in.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I can go. Funnily enough, a lot of my answers don't actually have to do a whole lot with video games. Because I think kind of one of the biggest things that for me this year specifically, because I didn't do a whole lot of video games, there was a bunch of obviously really good ones, but I just didn't play them yet or don't plan to, depending. House of the Dragon was my like big thing from this year.
Yeah, the HBO Game of Thrones follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
That was a really good show.
Well, the idea that like they took a series that they had like run into the ground over the last few seasons. And like everyone in the world was talking about this series like what 7 years ago, and all of a sudden nobody was talking about it 4 years ago, right? It was like let's pretend that didn't happen, and then they resurrected it with House of the Dragon, and the acting, the story, the special effects, like what made it so good to you, Toasty?
I don't know. It just like it kind of like scratched that itch. I mean, it's been a while since I've had like a show that I've like actually just wanted to dedicate the energy to watch to, because it is specifically very hard for me to watch shows a lot of the time because I can't remain focused in on it for very long, just because like my ADHD doesn't allow me to like stay on one thing for too much time. So it does become a little bit difficult. But I mean, there was a few of them this year, like that one, Edgerunners, of course. But yeah, it was just good. The characters were, I felt like a lot of the characters were like very like dynamic, like because you don't see a whole lot of that. You see very like either tropey or like very one dimensional characters, I feel like nowadays. So getting them where they're like have multiple facets of their personality is very, you know, very interesting. That's what draws me into like games and shows in the first place anyways, is like good characters, who are well-written characters.
Right, yeah. Like, even, like, you take Rhaenyra, the main
protagonist of, I guess you could argue she's the main protagonist of the show. And we see her at a young age and then older as the timeline's fairly expansive in the show. But she's dynamic. She's not just a one-note character. She changes her mind. She grows into ideas. She becomes somebody throughout the series. And part of it's because we're seeing it for, you know, a long period of time, but also because she works like a human being. Like, she's in a difficult situation and she's got to find her way through it. And she doesn't always agree with her past decisions and all of that kind of stuff. And doesn't always make good decisions. Sometimes makes amazing decisions. Like it, you know, just like a real person. So yeah, I agree. I think the show was really well done. Toasty, do you have something this year you're looking forward to? I mean, unfortunately, shows like House of the Dragon takes so long to make. I don't know that we're going to get the second season in 2023.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, there's obviously some really big, you know, things there. Obviously, I'm excited about Phantom Liberty as well. I'm also excited about the Hogwarts Legacy game that's be coming out next year. We'll see. Maybe another delay or something.
It did get pushed back, but hopefully. Yeah.
Only anybody? On certain consoles.
It got pushed back on certain consoles, but...
Yeah, next gen's February. Xbox One, PS4 is April. Switch is July.
Okay, so almost definitely we're going to get 2023. But, unless they really push it back again, but that's probably not likely.
Yeah.
But what are you guys' feelings about the Fallout TV show coming out?
I don't know if we know it'll be 2023 or not. I know they've been shooting. They've been in production.
Yeah.
I hope so, but I don't think we've gotten a date yet.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure because I hadn't gotten an ETA that far as I knew. So
yeah, I don't think we know much for sure about when they're actually releasing it. I wouldn't be super surprised if it's like a fall release and they announce it in the spring or something.
Right.
But it's, I know that they're doing behind the scenes stuff that I've heard. They're doing a lot to tell a story that's different from what's in any of the games specifically, but still fits into the world. They're doing a lot to make sure, based on the visuals, to make sure that everything looks correct. The settings, the outfits, the lore aspects of it. They're taking their time and doing a good job. So maybe 2023.
Visually, it looks very good. I mean, from what I can see so far.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. So time to move on from Toasty. You got anything else you want to share, Toast? Nope. You good?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Preston and Ben, you guys are who's left. Who wants to go next? Oh, and my dogs want to chime in as well.
Okay. This is just for media and stuff this past year.
Yeah. What's something that really you're just like, oh, I'm so glad this came out or this happened in 2022?
Oh, boy. Well, I have like a weird story. I was one of those lucky people to claim a PS5 on the night it was released, and I've been a longtime Xbox person. I just wanted to try something different. Played the PS5, enjoyed my little time with it, sold it, and this year, and I saw, because I thought to myself, I'm just going to be repurchasing a lot of these games I want to play. I'll just go back to Xbox. I mean, I just 100%ed Red Dead Redemption 2. And so that's not really easy to come by. I'm not doing that again. So I am back on Xbox now. I'm playing all these games I've been just falling in love with for a while. And as for the podcast, this is the first year ever in the podcast's almost decade-long history that I've released a mini series that strays away from the main one, and it's darker, it's more twisted, it's heavily inspired off of The Mandalorian, voice included.
Oh wow.
Yeah, oh yeah. And so if you ever just want to like hear a sample of it, just go to the Cage Chronicles, any of those Cage Chronicles episodes in my podcast, and
True Vault Escapades, in case anybody doesn't know. Yeah.
Which is literally just, it's an old time radio show like Silver Shroud or Daring Dashwood, but it's like in the Fallout worlds, and it has its own story. In this case, Cage is just this lone guy, and he's following a secret bounty that I guess the season finale is going to be either within the month or in January, so you'll find out.
If you have a Baby Yoda show up in your show, you're gonna have to fight Disney.
For real, I just need a ship to just come down, and the Empire just invades the wasteland. that's been amazing. This past episode, this pre-season finale, has done probably better than any of my other episodes, and that's something to say, because I mean, like I said, the show is about 8 years old now.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
So it's a good sign. And for next year,
yeah. I'd so really, go ahead. Let's talk next year. Like, is there something in media or games or something that you're really looking forward to?
I am. Starfield's coming out next year, right?
Yeah. As far as we know, sometime in the first 6 months of the year, first half of the year.
Yeah, well, since 08, I've been a Bethesda fanboy, so I'm super, super excited for Starfield. It looks so unique. I love the little bits of content we've seen. I believe in Todd we trust, so I'm going to be crossing my fingers. I think it's going to be, I really think it's going to be a great game, because other than that, I think the only other games I've been paying attention to is, of course, the Cyberpunk DLCs. I love Cyberpunk. And I don't know when, but Cloud Chamber's new BioShock game, which is probably going to come out in 10 years, but that's the only other one I've really had my eye on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. BioShock. I know Ken Levine, who headed up the previous BioShock games, is doing his own thing in his own studio, which still they showed some teaser stuff on the Game Awards of that, which looks still very BioShock. It just look more updated, yeah. Right? And then we have BioShock from the studio without Ken Levine being done, a sequel. So I hope it's as good as the others, because...
And a movie, I think, on Netflix or a series.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's a lot quieter than the Fallout one. So I'm really like optimistic, slightly concerned. I don't know. I just want more BioShock.
Yeah. It's such a cool premise, such a cool concept with the whole like... the underwater city and then the historic city and then the time stuff messing with why they have technology they shouldn't have and all of it. It's cool stuff. Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of that in the last few years.
There's just so much coming out at once with that. Cause I was already expecting the game, a sequel to come out or something, but then they add a show on top of that. And then there's like a Fallout show coming out. It's so overwhelming in the best of ways. So, I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Some cool stuff. Cool stuff. First of all, before we moved over to Ben, who's been chiming in with correcting some of our stuff, Ben works at GameStop, so he knows all the dates and releases and stuff. So it's nice to have him around because of that.
For sure.
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on any of the stuff Preston brought up? Nothing particular. All right, cool. Well, that's fine. I mean, we've been talking about lots of different topics. So let's move over to Ben. Ben, you got anything from 2022 you really, really, really happy about?
Honestly, starting my two shows, like finally being able to like No, I was a Witcher patron since you guys started the Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were our first one, right?
Yeah.
You kicked it off.
Yeah. And then ever since going on those shows, I was like, you know what? I want to start my own show. So started up a Star Wars podcast with Austin, She Cup's other half. And we've been doing Star Wars lore between Legends and canon. We just did our 34th episode, and we've been doing it since March, and we're less than 300 downloads from 10,000.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And I just kicked off, you know, the Wizarding World lorecast, and the Wizarding World and Harry Potter like universes are just getting bigger and bigger. And I like out of nowhere too. Like it's kind of insane. There's doing events constantly, like left and right in the UK, US. We're getting our first ever like Wizarding World Festival next year.
Yeah, it's interesting for us, like a book series that's like 20 some years old now,
mm-hmm.
and the movies, which are over a decade old, and then you've got the Wizarding World other movie, not the main Harry Potter stories, yeah, but the
Fantastic Beasts.
The Fantastic Beast mm-hmm. stuff, as they've continued to roll that out. And even with all the controversy around the author, it's one of those things that like really resonates with the fan base, and they really, really love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like a whole new generation's picked it up, because my daughters are actually pretty obsessed with Harry Potter and the whole series. So
yeah, my son,
a whole new generation getting into it.
My son is 12 and he was kind of skeptical. And then we got through the first movie and he was like, okay, let's watch the next one. You know, like,
the movies are like a great holiday season treat. I mean, I watch them every holiday season. The books are great. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the author, but you have to admit the world that the author created is a phenomenal world.
Yeah. Yeah. So does that mean that you are looking forward to the game?
Oh,
releasing? Yes. Is that your choice for 2023? Yes.
That and of course Jedi Survivor. Like,
so
those two games are for sure. Hogwarts Legacy, obviously they just did a new gameplay trailer or live stream where they showed the three unforgivable curses and how they showed them in combat.
Oh, wow.
And the killing curse is a one hit kill regardless. Like, it's great.
Wow.
You can go full dark side.
Okay.
And, you know, Jedi Survivor, you know, being another Star Wars game and expanding more into the Star Wars universe. It's great.
Yeah. That's man. I haven't kept up with it, but you're right. Like in that universe, there are spells that are just like single cast kill. Like,
boom. Yep. The director teased that your decisions you make in the game will affect the story. So just like any other RPG, your decisions will change. And they confirm that, yeah, you can go full dark wizard if you want and, you know, be completely evil and be a jerk.
Nice. Nice.
Be a jerk.
Sweet. Cool. A lot of us play games where those options are fun, you know, like Mass Effect and these other things where you get to kind of pick. And it is not exactly good evil, but it's there's definitely a polarity there where you get to pick one or the other. I'm surprised you didn't bring up Andor, the Star Wars.
Funny enough, I still need to finish it.
Oh, you haven't finished? Oh my gosh. All right.
Yeah,
so
funny enough, I still have net to finish that one.
Andor is the best thing. Is the best thing Star Wars. And I'm going to, people might yell at me. People might be yelling at their radios when I say this. It is the best thing Star Wars has ever done.
I do know the story gets a lot darker and it's a lot more grounded.
And people are going to be like, Tom, you're crazy because Empire Strikes Back is like the peak and you can't get past the originals. Like, and there aren't any Jedis in it. That's why it's so good. Like,
you can't use a force as a plot device to escape everything.
Right. Well, like Toasty was saying, like the characters are dynamic. The story, it's the first episode is slow. They specifically don't spell things out for you and tell you the reason why I'm upset right now is this. Like you have to piece to, like, they treat you like you're an intelligent watcher of the show, and you can piece together what's happening as it continues on. The character development, the arcs, all, like, even the fact that it's a prequel and we know what happens to Cassian Andor in, because he's in a movie that we've already seen and we've seen the end of his story, right? Like, it's still, even with that hindrance, creates a good, tense, interesting story with great characters. I don't know. Maybe my opinions will settle down after we're further away from it and everything's kind of balanced, but
there's still another season.
Yeah. It's still another season. Like, and on top of it, they, like, it doesn't feel like, so, you know, when you watched Mandalorian, for example, and then you, have you seen like the behind the scenes stuff of how they do the special effects? They've got like that big, mm-hmm. it's like a big extended TV screen, that kind of like a horseshoe behind the set. Have you seen this? And it actually casts light. It's like a big LED screen in the background. And a lot of the scenes are shot on this little set with this, like, and you can't tell until you start to realize that none of the characters are moving more than about 20 feet in any direction. And then, like, your brain goes, oh, that's why there's not a whole lot of movement. And the scenes where there is a whole lot of movement look funny in a certain way that's different than other CG or other location filmed scenes. And it's because they're putting a lot on a set with very limited size. This doesn't feel like that at all. Like, I can't tell where they used that technology and where they didn't. And there's actual real world locations with actual buildings that they're using. I don't know. I could go on forever about this. I think it's great. I think this is one of the best things from this last year.
Well, you sold me. I'm going to have to go check out more. I watched like the first three or four episodes and
it gets better after four.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a slow build. It's a slow build for a good reason, is because if they had sped through that stuff, then it doesn't work. Like,
I get it.
It's like, like to have like a really good meal, you have to spend a lot of time prepping and cooking. It's kind of like that. Like, you don't get the really good meal without the prep time.
I gotcha.
So
I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. So more Star Wars and Wizarding World stuff for Wizarding. Did I say Wizarding for Ben? All right. Well, I guess we're down to me. And I have to pick something. I'm going to pick something that's a little left field here. My favorite thing from 2022 is, obviously, I really liked Andor. I mentioned some of the things, some of these other shows and stuff. And there's the games that I play. So if you're listening to this on one of my feeds, you're like, is he going to mention a Fallout thing? Is he going to mention a Lord of the Rings thing or whatever? Right? No, I'm actually going to mention a Warhammer thing, because the team that did the Warhammer Vermintide games, which most of you are going to be like, yeah, most of you are going to be like, what? All right. So Warhammer is a tabletop system that's been around for a few decades now. It's very popular in Europe. And it's like you collect all these little figurines and you paint them and then you make them, you battle your friends, right? It's that kind of thing. But there's this extensive lore and world behind Warhammer. So obviously that's something very appealing to me. And there's Warhammer, and then, which is like fantasy Warhammer, and then there's Warhammer 40K, which is like sci-fi 40,000 or 38,000 years in the future wacky space war stuff, right? This game, Warhammer 40K Darktide, is the best thing that's ever been done in the video game or any other sort of media other than the books and the figures and the game systems for Warhammer 40K. It's so well done. It's got some bugs and things, but the bones of the system are there. The characters you play as, the dark future, the fact that you are serving the God Emperor and that you're probably not even the good guys. In fact, there probably aren't any good guys because it's this dark future and you're just lopping off the heads of lots of terrible other people and demons and other creatures and things like that. And you're working together with your team to get through to the end of every level. Basically, it's a cooperative get through the level kind of game. I think it's great. I think that this is one of the best things that's happened in 2022. Have any of you guys played it? I don't think anyone else has. Have you played it, Ben?
I played a little bit of it. I've played a lot of Vermintide. So yeah, played a little bit.
Yeah. It's like,
it's fun.
It's like that.
It's Vermintide but on like space gun steroids. Really?
Yeah. And it gets intense. Like I found that like my first, I don't know, 10 hours dozen hours playing it, going through missions that take 20-30 minutes, I'm like sitting here all tense. Like, I felt like I'm physically tensing up, and like games don't usually do that to me anymore. But the fact that I'm having like this physical reaction to the intensity of the game, and like, it's legit. Like I feel something from it, which is cool. So I really like that. So that's my pick for this last year. There's lots of other good things, but some of the things you guys mentioned, I totally agree with. And then for 2023, we don't know when the Fallout TV show is coming out. We don't know if we're going to get we're probably not going to get any of the shows that came out this last year, next season, until like a year and a half or 2 years from when those came out. So it's not going to be any of those things. But a little side note here. I do the Lord of the Rings lore cast. This is going to be a thing that matches with that. There is another book called, I think it's The Downfall of Numenor, which is releasing in just a few months. These are books in the vein of some of the books like The Children of Húrin that Christopher Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien's son, edited together and then released. Well, this one, Christopher Tolkien passed away not too long ago, and I'm not sure how much work he did on this one and who the other authors are exactly. I haven't really looked into it too much, but this book is specifically about the downfall of Numenor, which is the place where the royal line of humans basically lived on this little island during the Second Age and all of that. And it goes into much more detail. This is one of the pieces of the lore that is glanced over a lot. We get a lot of little references in things like the Silmarillion or the appendices of the Lord of the Rings books. But we don't get a whole lot of specific detail. So being able to dive deeper into that and see more about like this middle piece of the history of the lore that's kind of glossed over a lot is exciting to me. So that's coming out in a few months, and I'm super pumped for that. So that's what's on my list, friends. I don't know if any of you guys are super into Lord of the Rings like I am. Is anybody going to pick this up? Probably not.
No, but are you excited that Henry Cavill was going to star and executive produce a 40K show?
Yes, I heard about that. There's the whole news with him not being Superman anymore, and not being Geralt, but now also not being Superman. And then now he's working on a 40K thing because he loves 40K. Hopefully that's great. Hopefully it's wonderful. You know, I think that, like we were talking about with Cyberpunk, we've got this really cool universe, this really cool game system that's now blossoming out into all sorts of other media. And why not, right? Like, this is the background is there, the stories are there. Let's hear about it. Let's hear about it in TV shows and movies and video games. Absolutely. So, man, that is what this our network is about, basically, right? Is that there's so much cool stuff out there, and all of us want to consume it and talk about it and write about it and whatever. And that's what's so cool. So, I mean, that's a good place to kind of wrap the discussion up this week. Thank you all for joining me. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, that was like, I don't know, what, seven, eight other hosts? There are a lot more other hosts on the network. A lot of people just couldn't make it tonight. So hi to our other friends out there. I'm sorry you guys couldn't make it, but if you are interested in any of the shows that you've heard about, any of the stuff going on in the network beyond just the shows you're familiar with, go to robotsradio.net. There's a whole entire list of all the other shows. There's going to be something else I'm sure you're going to be super into by some of these awesome hosts. So go check that stuff out. But here, let's just go back through. We're going to wrap this up. I'll call you out and feel free to just like final thoughts. And, you know, make this as entertaining or silly as you want. But just to remind everybody, like, this is who I am. These are my shows. And final thought. So let's just go back to you, Ben.
Yeah, I am Ben of Temeria, one of the hosts for Holocron Histories, where we go over Star Wars lore. And I am also one of the hosts for the Wizarding World lore cast, where we do everything with the Harry Potter universe. And yeah, I mean, just being part of this network is awesome. It's a lot of fun. Join the Discord. We're a bunch of crazy nerds who love talking about stuff.
Yeah. I hope everyone who's listening thinks to, you know, like, how can I get involved with the community? Because that's a big part of why we do our shows. So, you know, please join us on the Discord, on Twitter, if it still exists when you're hearing this, on any other platform where you can join us in as part of the community, on anybody's live streams, anything like that at all. Please jump in. The community is seriously one of the best, nicest corners of the internet. Somehow that happened. And it's because of you guys for being so awesome. So thank you so much. Solid one, Ben. All right, Jaxus.
Hello, everybody. I'm Patrick Conway, also known in other circles as Jaxus. I do two shows, the Content Creators Guide and the Fallout Roundtable. And the Robots Radio Network is definitely a great community. You will find a plethora of different shows, but you'll also find a community of like thousands of gamers hanging out in the Discord, having discussions and talking about everything that's nerddom. And I would suggest anybody who enjoys being a gamer and has to scratch that itch and hasn't had anybody else to share their love for a different video game or a TV show or something of that nature, you will find something that fits that for you on the Robots Radio Network.
And you don't even have to shower first.
Yeah, no, yeah, you can stink all you want.
You don't have to worry about offending other people with your body odor. thank God for that. Awesome, Jaxus. thanks for being here. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. And Genesis, let's do you next.
Yeah, I'm Genesis, one half of the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. I explore the physical side, and my partner, Vervada, explains the emotional aspects. You can also find me on the Cyberpunk Lorecast with my co-host, Toasty, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk.
Awesome. Yeah, and Toasty had to go, so goodbye from Toasty. Toasty also not only does the Cyberpunk Lorecast with you, but he also does the Witcher Lorecast with me. So he's kind of doing those two things together. So, but he said, sorry, guys, he had to go. Thanks for being here. Bye, Toasty. All right.
And then on a final note, skulls for the Skull Throne, blood for the Blood God.
All right. Yeah, more Warhammer stuff. People ask a lot. They're like, you're going to do a Warhammer lore cast sometime? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tempted. But there's some other really good shows already out there.
And it's so big. It's and so many codexes and so many books and then retcons. And where do you start?
There's a lot.
You think Star Wars has a lot? Go to Warhammer.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's a lot. There's like 100 and something books out there, just the books, not even like the actual like books that how to play the game and like who are these characters and what, like actual stories, like novels. It's crazy, so much stuff. All right, well, thanks, Jen. N7.
Yeah, so I'm N7 Legend from the Mass Effect Lorecast, and I stream pretty regularly, Mass Effect playthroughs, doing Andromeda and Mass Effect 1 right now. So you can find me on Twitch and Twitter at N7 Legend. But if I want to leave people with one thought, and I'm guessing most people who listen to this have not played Mass Effect before, but maybe you've played some of the other games. Maybe you're a Star Wars fan. Maybe you're a Dragon Age fan. Maybe you're a Fallout fan. And I promise you, Mass Effect has elements from all of those. Knights of the Old Republic, Dragon Age, pretty much all of the Dragon Age games, especially Fallout New Vegas. If you're a fan of the morality systems, if you're a fan of being able to make your choices matter in a game where the story and the characters and the narrative is so rich, then just final thought, give Mass Effect a try in 2023, and I promise you're not going to be disappointed. In fact, you might end up spending far too much time doing playthroughs. And if you do that, Tom and I will be around for all of your questions when it comes to the lore.
Absolutely. Or if you're into romancing aliens.
Or banging aliens. That's also that's always on the table.
That's another.
As is the alien.
That's another big appealing part of it. Well, if the internet says anything for a large part of the community. Anyway, yeah. Well, thanks, Sam. All right, Preston.
Well, hi, I am Preston, also known in some circles as DJ Atomic Wolf, and I am the creator of True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama. Follow Walter and Bunny as they explore the wasteland from Texas to New Vegas in the most 1940s authentic way possible. Music accents grain, so it's very immersive in that way. Please stop on by because I appreciate it. I also love it when people get addicted to the show as they usually do and they message me, where's more? I'll panic, but I'll also know that you like the product. So thank you. You can find me on Twitter at A-Bomb Radio, like the atom bomb. You can find me on Instagram at Atomic Wolf, and you can find the podcast anywhere you get them. And I also wanted to thank Tom, and I also want to thank Robots Radio, and especially Ken as well from Chad for introducing me to Tom. And I have to say, Robots is perhaps the best thing that's ever happened to my show because then the networking, everything that has come with this has been an absolute just miracle work. So, just want to extend my thanks.
Awesome. Well, you're very welcome. And get on it. Do more episodes. It takes for anybody who knows how much time it takes to do a regular podcast, to do a podcast where you write the story, you get all the voice acting, you edit it all together. It is a lot of work. It is I don't envy you, but I'm super glad there are people like you putting out awesome stuff for other people like me to listen to. So very, very, very cool stuff. Also, another thing that, before we get to Shelby real quick at the end, another thing I don't mention too much, I don't really pitch this very often, but a lot of these creators joined the network. They joined the Rocket Club. They are brand new podcasters who just wanted to learn how to get into things and be part of a community. So that is very much available to you on robotsradio.net. Just go take a look and you're welcome to join us and be part of our weekly chats and kind of bring you under our wing and get you going on some show in the new year. So if that's something you're interested in, go check that out. Shelby, last but not least.
Yeah, just to echo that, the Rocket Club is awesome. If you're a new podcaster and you feel like you need some advice, definitely join it because Tom and the other creators are an invaluable resource. So that's my plug. But also, I host the Dragon Age Lorecast, the Assassin's Creed Lorecast, and the Inheritance Cycle podcast. So those are our three shows. Check any of them out. You can follow us on Twitter, join the Robots Radio Discord. We have channels there, but we also have our own Discord server that you can find links to on social media and in Tom's server as well. So my last plug will be go watch Dragon Age Absolution and then join our Discord server and we can talk about all the lore implications.
Watch it first, then go to the server second so you don't have any spoilers. Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, Shelby. Everybody, thank you for being here. This has been awesome. All of my stuff, also robotsradio.net, anything having to do with Lord of the Rings or Fallout or Elder Scrolls or Mass Effect or The Witcher, I'm doing currently, plus the Starfield Lorecast will be starting back up very soon as we get more actual real information to talk about, and then that can be your source for all the stuff going on in the game universe and just like these other shows. So go check that stuff out, robotsradio.net for everything. Have a wonderful holiday, everybody, and thank you for being here. I appreciate every single one of you, all of the hosts, all of our friends and audience and people out there in the world listening. Thank you for being a part of this and helping 2022 just be an amazing year. Here's to an awesome 2023, and who knows what else is going to happen this year, but hopefully it's all wonderful, and have a wonderful rest of 2022, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.